Recording is on.
Let's not speak for now and communicate only by typing here.
Will the thoughts be faster or slower?
Slower, maybe, but it's for the idea I had. Let's have a discussion here. The result we can read out loud during the broadcast, but I will read your lines and you mine.
I got it, even before you wrote it. And more precise?
That we will hear our conversation for the first time when we broadcast.
Great.
So, you know, I had this idea after speaking about technological frameworks and who holds power and experience this ourselves, but also about being comfortable with public speaking. It's a nice follow-up on what we just discussed. I mean, we are a bit opposites in this field, so I thought it would be a nice starting point.
I'm up. So in a way, this is a screenplay.
Actually, we already started.
Do conversations ever end? Sometimes I feel like they are a continuation of the thoughts we have.
They are. So what I thought could be interesting to read our conversation out loud. I read your lines, you mine.
The lines that have never been spoken before. Some sort of an exchange of brain is happening here. I like it. As if I could become you for a moment and you become me.
Exactly. But you can also think about what is in your head and want me to say. So we can also explore this power and responsibility.
I am manipulating your mouth right now. You're speaking the words that I want you to speak. You have no way to dislike it or not to say it. If you would do that, you would be disobedient, and that would be valued in a certain way.
The fact that I will be reading your lines will sound differently from speaking out loud what's in my head.
Sometimes I have this sensation that someone else is speaking through me, as if I would not be in control. The words just utter themselves. I'm just the body, the machinery of thoughts that takes over me. And then I speak and I observe, and sometimes it's so beautiful, like a divine feeling. Other times it's intimidating. What if I say something that will be held against me? Sometimes something that I something that I shouldn't have said.
Here we might be opposites. I usually think way too long for what I want to say, that the moment is gone, and there is no real necessity of adding them.
Adding what? The words?
Yeah, sometimes I need some time to form an opinion. I like to go through pros and cons and everything in between. I mean, it looks like a different experience in speaking for what you just described. I think this is really interesting in how it works differently from person to person. Does it have something to do with being an extrovert or an introvert, you think?
Yeah, for sure. But I think we are born, I don't think we are born an introvert or an extrovert. I think it depends on how we were brought up and in what way we were taught to think. Were our opinions had and acknowledged when we decide to speak them out loud? You know, when we were kids, or did we accumulate fear from not being able to affect the situations or being beaten for what we said? Are we afraid of meanings that could just appear out of somewhere? To test them, to see if they are valid and on point in their particular social situation.
I think you are right, but it's also about feeling the need to voice your opinion.
Does your opinion matter? Do you feel like it matters? I think this belongs to the realm of confidence or self-confidence, also connected to the past or how we perceived ourselves in the midst of others.
Let me think for a second.
Take your time.
I like the fact that you use the word testing here. This is going to be a bit weird for me to say this, but when I was a kid, I wasn't able to speak properly because of a speaking disability. I was stammering so much that I wasn't able to speak on command. Although I grew over it, this is still sometimes happening today when I have to think and speak at the same time. So maybe I didn't get enough time to test. Oof, this feels a bit too private. Maybe, although it's not a secret at all. Maybe I'm going to delete this later. What do you think?
Whoa, and for me, this is beautiful to hear, because I believe that every one of us has a very particular subjective experience with speech, especially because it's the first instrument we've ever played. We've got a gift of in the moment of our birth, and it is the instrument that we're going to play until the end of our lives. I believe it's a matter of connection with your own voice. It's a metaphorical sense and also very visceral body sense. The voice is something that never leaves us. You know, there was a Greek orator called Demosthenes. I Googled that. He was stuttering. He had a stuttering voice. And then he put pebbles in his mouth. He was speaking on the board of an ocean with pebbles in his mouth, almost screaming to be louder than the waves. And with this, he gained control over his voice. He managed to clear it out. He overcame his disability. And it was this exact condition that empowered him.
Whoa. Whoa, yeah. There are so many theories about how to overcome not only severe stammering, but also fear of speaking in public. From my own experience, it varies from therapies where you learn to help your diaphragm muscle push the air more evenly, first physically by using your hands against your ribs, to exercising that just you focus on how to overcome the fear. So from physical to mental tricks. To add, these physical tricks are, of course, to increase the confidence of public speaking. I never came across these techniques of using pebbles.
I wouldn't try this at home if I were you. I think it belongs to a myth of the 16th century back.
I don't have a sea in my backyard to train this also.
Exactly. I believe there are many techniques, but they are kind of revolve around two main categories. Our body, physical, and our mind, mental. I agree with you on that. So it kind of doesn't matter which one you choose. Just by persisting in the practice of being disciplined and aiming for something else, this makes all the difference. And it's tough. I know it's supposed to be tough.
To elaborate on this, I was really curious about this radio training you had, you were talking about before. You were talking about learning to speak when there is very little spans and spraking to filling in the gaps. Am I correct?
Imagine you're in front of a microphone in a broadcasting studio of a radio station. The song just finished. The technician says, okay, go in the ether and say something. And you blank out. You have nothing to say. There is like 2-3 seconds of silence that seem like eternity. You know what you need. You know that you need to say something, but you feel like you have nothing to say. What happens then? This is what I was trained to do. To just start speaking and see where that leads me. Because 15,000 people are not supposed to listen to an awkward silence. If you say anything, you do better than not speaking at all. And then I became more comfortable with this, went through my own limitations. I had to train a lot, also reading and free speaking and thinking about all these people in the cars, kitchen, gardens, listening to me at the very moment. Then I began to wonder what I want to need to speak about. I wanted to speak not about whatever shitty thought I had at the moment, or something random that came out of my mind. I wanted to speak about the things that seemed important to me and meant for the people that were listening. That was a big shift. It also comes with a heavy consequence I had to deal with in real life, in my period of radio detox. Sorry for speaking so long about this.
I think this is very interesting in relation to what we talked about before starting this written conversation. To conclude for now, What do you think would be a good tip for when we will read this text later?
I believe that writing this text already works well in terms of being able to articulate more. So half of what you say as a person has already been formulated in our minds. We can trust our thoughts, right? And then just try what the other 50% of the yet unformulated thoughts have to offer. Okay, that's more general, but I think that we can take it as a tip for the reading of this text. It has already been done. Oh, wait, now I have to think for a moment.
Edit, sorry, I overcomplicated things. It doesn't really matter, right?
No, it was totally on point. It matters a lot. So the task here is to read each other's words, sentence, meanings, and what way to address this other that is speaking through our mouths. Do we mimic? Do we act natural as we were speaking it and not reading it? Do we lower or higher our voices? Do we use emotions while reading or just read it robotically, like linearly? What do you think about this?
I think there is no real need to perform. I think reading a conversation is already very powerful as a transcript.
Could every reading be already understood as a performance? Like maybe the form matters as much as the content does.
The fact that I will read text is already a huge form choice. It's about hearing your thoughts in another voice.
Yes, I understand. It's true. Then I would say that we breathe, relax our bodies, and read this conversation out loud and clear as possible and go slowly so the meaning can be clear. What do you think? Is that too much?
Nope. As long as it's free from any theatrical style, I think it can work. But I have to add, I am putting myself on the spot here, since reading can be challenging, but hey, fuck it, right?
Yeah, I admire your courage. I think just the fact that you propose this exercise tells everything. And you know, we don't have anything to lose. And from every failure, a new world of possibilities opens up. If it would help, simulate that you are me that is reading the text.
You were just me, Mark.
You were just me, Tisa.
The end.